Well, hey, friends, welcome to the Everyday Mealmanship Podcast. I'm Ty Evans. Thanks for being here with me today, you guys. I sure appreciate you. So I got to give a big thanks to all of our supporters of this podcast, to each of you listeners out there. And I really appreciate those of you that have been leaving reviews and comments. I love to read those comments and I love seeing those 5-star reviews. So thank you for doing that. And if you haven't done so yet, we'd love to hear from you. And if you're listening on a platform that does not let you leave a review, well, I'd love to hear from you via email. So you can send me an email, ty@tsmules.com. I want to give a big shout out to our sponsors, everybody that makes this podcast free for you. Colt Saddlery, taking care of us, building amazing gear. I got my buddy Ben Lewis over at Roman Home Tents. You got to check his gear out. If you like to hunt, if you like to pack, you like to get in the backcountry like I do, you got to have a Roman home to take with you. He's building the best tents out there. Also, big shout out to Diamond W Enterprises, my buddy Kevin Wright. He's got a really nice breeding jack, and it's that time of year right now, springtime, time to start thinking about your mule babies for next year. And if you're looking for a good jack in the Western U.S., especially in Utah, then look up Diamond W Enterprises for sure. And of course, my two favorite magazines, Mules and More Magazine and Western Mule Magazine. Both of these, if you ride mules, if you ride donkeys, shoot, if you ride horses, you'll like these anyways. Amazing magazines. Go check them out. Look them both up. They do a great job. But we sure appreciate our sponsors. And, you know, all these sponsors, I got relationships with them. You know, I know them. And they're friends. They've taken good care of me and my family. And I love sending business their way. I love supporting small business. So anyways, if you see any of them or you come across them or you look them up, be sure to tell them that I'm grateful for them and tell them that you're grateful for them supporting this podcast. April has flown by. I don't know about you, but man, April went by so quick. And I kept thinking about, oh, I need to jump on and do a podcast and talk to you guys. And you know, I love doing these podcasts. It's a great way for me to get my thoughts out there to, maybe, I don't know. I don't know how it sounds to you guys, but maybe it's like listening to me go through therapy and I'm talking my way through this stuff, you know. But I like to talk about my experiences, and it's kind of fun for me to, you know, I do keep a journal, which I think everybody should keep a journal, but this is also kind of like my audio journal, and I can listen back and remember when, you know, it's pretty fun. So, you know, hopefully these podcasts last forever, and, you know, 50 years from now, maybe I'll be able to jump on and hit play and be reminded about the good old days. Although I believe we're in the good old days right now. I think every day is the good old days. But we've had some great clinics. Since the last time I had jumped on here, we went to Caldwell, Idaho, Salmon, Idaho. I went to the Midwest Horse Fair and just barely finished up a semi-private clinic here in Utah. So we've been everywhere from Idaho to Wisconsin, back here to Utah. And met a lot of great people and had some fun. You know, I think I've said this a couple times, probably the past couple years, I think now, but holy cow, I am just so impressed with the masterclass students showing up to the clinics these days. Like, I have to say that it's a huge difference. And, you know, I'd love to say that I made the masterclass for all of you guys to get better and to be better. But also, selfishly, I did the masterclass for myself, meaning I want you guys to come to the clinics and bring a different level with you. Step it up, you know, show up and step it up to the next level. And we can get more done. There's way more we can get done if people show up more prepared. And it's always interesting, and I'm talking to the, I'm preaching to the choir right now, but it's always interesting to me that somebody would show up to a clinic, to one of my clinics, and not have, you know, investigated what we do. I just think you guys are really brave to do that. If you do that, you know, to show up somewhere and you didn't do any research, because we got videos. And of course you guys listen to the podcast right now. We got articles and there's all kinds of stuff out there. And now we have the masterclass and all these things serve you so you can show up to a clinic and we can take it to another level and we can push things. And that was something, or that is something that has been really impressing me, especially this year, the masterclass students showing up and getting after it. And it's fun to take people to the next level too. You know, it's fun to help people with figuring out the priority. What is the priority in things? I thought that'd be kind of a fun topic to discuss for this episode, is priorities. And there's all kinds of examples, and let's just dive into a bunch of these. But you know, as you are writing and as you're progressing in your mealmanship, as you're growing in this, your priorities are going to change. And I don't mean necessarily priorities like, oh, well, today I really want to write. Writing is a priority. And, you know, doing my taxes is, you know, I'll wait till next week or something like that. No, I'm talking about priorities in mealmanship. We can get even more specific. Priorities in the checklist. Most of you have been to a clinic, I'm sure. Most of you are familiar with me talking about and teaching about the checklist. So we have a groundwork checklist and we have a writing checklist. These are things that I believe every single mule and every single person that rides a mule and works with a mule should be able to do. On the ground, you know, we start with catching with quality. We talk about hooking on. We talk about the halter driving work, which consists of clearing the front, making centered circles, roll the hinds and stop, roll the hinds, return, roll the hinds, roll the front, so on, so forth on the ground. And the same thing in the saddle, stand still to mount, lateral flexion, first method of moving the hinds, fourth method of moving the hinds, centerness exercises, roll the hinds, stop, roll the hinds, return, reaching exercises, roll the hinds, roll the front, soft feel, stop, back up, walk, trot, lope, on course, on loose rein. There's a whole list, and you can find that list on our video library. It's there. There's a groundwork checklist collection, and there's a snaffle bit checklist collection, and you can find that. But priorities in that checklist. This is something that I feel when people first start in the mealmanship, this is probably the hardest thing. What should I do? You know, here's a common thing. I see this every single week. Somebody gets on their mule. Okay, so they're just swinging their leg over. They're sitting down in the saddle, getting their off foot in the stirrup, and the mule begins to just walk off. And I see the person pull back on both reins. Now, they're thinking, well, what's wrong with this? And you might be thinking, well, what's wrong with that? You know, why not just block them? Well, the matter of the fact is, if they're walking off on you when you are just trying to get on them, the mule, are not qualified for you to pick up on both reins. They clearly don't have an understanding of that. And engaging both reins, we will do that. But it is way down the list from where this mule's education level is. Well, so what do you do? Well, standing still is the priority to mount. That's the first step. First step in the riding checklist is stand still to mount. So that mule goes to walk off. All I'm going to do is slide down the rein and I'm going to bend them. And maybe they don't bend that good. I don't care. I'm going to bend and I'm going to wait until their feet stop. That's the physical stop. And I'm going to wait until they get light on my rein. That's the mental part of it right there. So there's a physical stop and a mental stop that I'm looking for. And as soon as they do both of those things, I turn loose the rein and they should stand there. You might turn loose the rein and the mule just walks off again. No problem. Just pick up the rein again. Do the same thing. Ask them to bend until they stop their feet and they get light and turn loose. That's the priority. That's the only thing that should be on my agenda then and there. That's it. Maybe I had all these goals. Maybe I had these goals of, you know, I'm going to go out there and, you know, I'm going to go work on some water crossings or some lead changes, or maybe I was going to go work some cows. Maybe I was going to go rope, whatever. But right here, right now, the priority is stand still to mount. Okay. And I'm going to check that off. And as I move up the list, there are priorities. Basically, an easy way to think about it is I will default to the previous step. So let's fast forward a little bit. Okay, so let's say we are working on a movement that we call roll the hinds, roll the front. If you're not familiar with this, you can find those videos on our library. But basically, I'm going to yield the hindquarters. Let's say I'm going to yield the hindquarters from left to right. And then once that is checked off, I'm going to bring the front quarters from right to left. So the hinds go one way while the front end is steadying and still. And then I pause the hind end there. I leave the hind end there. So the hind end is now steady and still. And I move the front end. So hinds go to the right, front go to the left in this little exercise. All right, so priority number one, roll the hinds. If the hinds aren't coming through correctly, if that inside hind leg is not stepping forward and through and over and in front of the outside hind, and if that front end, while I'm moving the hinds, is not steady and still and supporting the weight correctly, I don't need to go on to moving the front. See, a lot of people think, oh, roll the hinds, roll the front. So they just kind of bump the hip over a little bit, and then they think they should just take the front over. Nope, priority. Priority says get the hinds correct. Once that is checked off, and I don't care how long that takes, then my priority is to move the front. And I need to stick to my question. The question is the priority. I'm going to stick with it. So I might be looking for just one step with the front. But that needs to be one correct step with the front. I see a lot of people counting a step and then they just go on with it. Well, that's if it's not a correct step, it don't count. I might have to waller around on that mule for a little while. We might make a whole bunch of circles from the bird's eye view until they actually take that correct step. When they finally take that step, now the priority is to reward them. That's the priority. And I'm going to let them soak. That's the reward. I want to leave them alone. Let them feel that comfort. See, I want my mule to find comfort in the movements. Let's fast forward a little bit further. We get to working on soft feel, stop, and back. Okay. So we're walking along. I'm going to engage a soft feel. Basically, I'm going to collect up on both of my reins evenly, distributing pressure evenly on both sides. And what I'm looking for is the mule to give at the pole, to flex at the pole vertically and get light in my rein. Okay, I want them to get light in the rein. So there shouldn't be tension in that rein when I'm engaging a soft feel. So basically what this does is it distributes the weight from the forehand to the haunches a little bit more so. That way the mule isn't loading up on the front end. See, if you go to engage on your rein and you ask for a soft feel and it's really heavy, that tells you the mule has shifted a whole bunch of weight on the front end. It's heavy on the front end. It's bracing on the front end. That's what it distributes. That's where the weight is being distributed, is to that front end. So when you're picking up on those reins, somebody that's maybe a little either naive or maybe a little ignorant might think, oh, that mule's got a hard mouth. Well, it ain't the mouth that's bracing on you. It's those front feet. They're pushing down. Without those front feet, they couldn't brace in the mouth. Okay. So when I'm preparing for a real stop, a good stop, I pick up on those reins and there should be lightness to it. There shouldn't be brace. And in fact, when I engage those reins, they shouldn't stop yet. They shouldn't stop until I sit in my saddle. I get my tailbone down. I do like a crunch position. Tailbone goes down, heels kind of go down, and I sit. And when I actually ask for that stop, I already have that soft feel. And when I'm asking for the stop, I'm actually putting my rein down. So the priority, though, was the soft feel walking. That is preparing my mule for the stop. So every move I do, I am trying to figure out the priority. What will help my mule be ready for the movement? What's going to help them be ready for the movement? While we're on the soft feel stop, let's talk about the backup. Okay, so I pick up the soft feel. I get my stop. But once they're stopped, I feel a little tension when I go to ask them to back up. Well, guess what? Priority is the soft feel. So I ask for the soft feel again before I initiate the backup. I don't want to back them up without a soft feel. You know, there's times later on where I might back them up and they're pretty bracy in the backup. So you might have maybe you asked for a soft feel on the start. But then as soon as the mule started moving their feet, you lost the softness. Here's a big quality lesson. I had one of my masterclass students here this week for my semi-private, and she's awesome. She is a go-getter, a hard worker. She's always getting after it. She's in the coaching program, you know, she's wanting to learn, wanting to get better. And this week, her word for the clinic was quality. She was doing a whole bunch of stuff and rewarding for numerical steps. So let's reward for one step. Let's reward for two steps. Let's reward for three, four, five steps, whatever. She was really good at rewarding for steps, but she was missing rewarding for the quality. There's a huge difference in what your mule will learn, whether you reward for quantity or quality. For example, back to the backup here, she was rewarding one step at a time. So she would ask for the backup, one step, release, one step, release, one step, release. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. You might be thinking to yourself, well, geez, Ty, what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that, especially on the start. So if you're starting a colt, you're starting something and it's very green, it's just learning, absolutely reward for one step. But eventually, your priority needs to change from quantity to quality. What happens is a lot of people reward for one step, and then they just want to keep rewarding for quantity. So they go one, and then now they want to get two, and now they want to get three, and now they want to get four and five and six and seven and 10 and 20, and they're good at counting numbers and counting steps, but they miss the quality part of the solution here. Part of the equation is the quality. So that's what I'm looking for. And I was telling Beth, my coaching student, that okay, well, you're backing up, great, but it's heavy. You are rewarding one step, good, that's fine, but it's heavy. Oh, two, oh, it's heavy, it's still heavy. So I asked her to engage her reins and ask that mule to back up until the mule got light. So it might have taken her 10 steps backwards, if you were counting. It might have taken 10 steps to get one step with lightness. That's the only step I'm counting. That's the only step I care about, is that one with lightness, where that mule's not hanging on my reins, where they're not pushing with the front. They're actually engaging the hindquarters and pulling back. That's what I'm a reward for. So eventually, you know, in the beginning, it takes you 10 to get one. Eventually, it'll take you 9 to get one, and then 8 to get one, and then 5 to get one, and then 3 to get one, and so forth down to where one to get one, and then finally, you can just, from the start, get one step with quality. Congratulations, now you have one quality step. I would rather have one quality step over 10 that are really bracy. Big difference. Well, okay, now I want to get two steps. Quality is the priority. So how am I going to get two? Well, I might get one. Oh, good. That was nice. But then the second step, I realized that I lost the lightness. They got heavy in that second step. Oh, no. Now they're heavy in the third, heavy in the fourth. Finally, I get a quality step. Maybe it takes me five to get one. So I got one quality step, five heavy, one quality. All right. My job now, the priority, is to thin out that gap. I want to get one, two steps quality. Hopefully you're hanging in here with me while I'm explaining this. It's much easier to see this in person. But quality is what I'm looking for. That's what I'm going to reward for. As soon as I feel that mule get light, I want to reward the effort. I want to reward the correct description of the movement I want. Maybe I'm trying to do a turn on the haunches. Maybe I'm trying to turn left on the haunches. All right. Well, how does that turn feel? Maybe I get a good reach, but then the mule moves the hip. And then maybe the mule Coke bottles for a while. If you don't know what Coke bottling is, this is when the hinds are going one way and the front are going the other way. You'll see it a lot in reining, but it's not, that's not real life how you want them to turn. They're not balancing on their haunches correctly. That's not what we're shopping for in real life. In the show pen, definitely they love it. They love it when they Coke bottle. That's how they get the speed. But what I'm looking for here is the mule to stay on the hindquarters. And whether they walk forward and around the inside hind or back and around the outside hind, that's up for debate. You can decide which way you want them to turn. But one thing's for sure is I want them to stay on the haunches. I don't want them to break and move the hinds, and I don't want them just to waller around and make this weird circle thing. So I'm asking them to turn on the haunches, and I might get one good step, and then I might lose it for a little while. It's important that when you lose that quality, you don't quit. You got to stay with it. You got to stick to your question. That is your priority right now. Stick to the question you asked, and you wait until they find the quality again. And you might have got one good one, and then they lost it for 20 steps. You got to stay, you got to stay, you got to stay. And then you're going to release when they finally feel the way you want them to feel. And then when you release, your priority is now to provide comfort, which is easy. Just leave them alone. Just leave them alone. Just let them stand there. That's the priority. Another example of priority is, you know, something that is herd bound. So if I'm out there and I'm trying to, you know, say we're out on a trail ride together, and I kind of want to go over here and I want to go play on those rocks and go over that deadfall, but my mule is clearly herd bound. If you came to me with this problem 20 years ago, I'd say, well, geez, you make that son of a buck go away, make it go. I'd go climb that mountain. I would force that mule to leave the herd. But that's just how dumb I was. I just didn't know. And what I would do is I would make them go away and then be like, well, I kind of want to go back and visit my family. And so I would ride back and I'd go back and I'd visit my family. And all the pressure was relieved when we got back to the herd. I did not realize that I was building up the very problem I was trying to fix. I was making it worse because I was making it difficult to go away and I was making it easy to come back. I needed to do the opposite. That's the priority. So let's say I do want to go over there. I want to ride away from the group. That's what I would like to do. But my mule is herd bound. Well, the priority says to address the herd bound first. So in that moment, my priority is going to be to bring up a little stress, just a little bit, just a little stress, a little anxiety, a little tension. I'm going to bring up that stress near the herd, just enough. All you got to do is turn up the heat a couple of degrees. They're near the herd, and I'm going to start to fade away small in small segments. So maybe I just ride 10 foot away and I just kind of parallel the herd for a while. And I leave them alone out there. That's the priority. Leave them alone. Make it feel good to go. And I kind of see my mule's ear flick back over there. Well, I'm going to go back to the herd. And I'm going to dress again, put on just a little stress, and again fade away. That's the priority. That's what I need to do at that moment. And the further along I get in my mulemanship education, the more I realize how important it is to prioritize what the mule needs. They're going to tell you what they need. You just need to listen. Maybe I'm out here, I show up to a new place, and I'm trying to do something with my mule, groundwork, riding, whatever. But the mule's attention is everywhere. Well, doesn't matter what I wanted to do. It doesn't matter what things I had on my agenda. My new priority is to do what we call our attention exercise. As the Beth, the masterclass student I was talking about earlier, as she would call it, a half hour of, what does she call it? Uncomfortable eye contact. No, she said half an hour of awkward eye contact. But basically, and you guys might not know what I'm talking about, but all I'm going to do is sit out there ahead of my mule. I'm standing out there ahead of my mule. So I'm facing them, they're facing me. And I'm just going to work on getting their attention centered, getting their attention back to me. That's all I would do. But that's the priority. If they're looking everywhere, if their mind is everywhere, there is no use in me trying to work on some type of advanced move and try to teach them something. How am I supposed to teach them something if I don't even have their attention? You got to have their attention first. It's really hard to do something if you don't have their attention. You know, if I can't pay attention in school, if my, you know, I grew up looking outside all the time. I missed out on a lot of school, I'm sure, because all I ever wanted to do was look outside the window. So I need to help my mule pay attention in those moments. And they need to feel comfortable doing it. That's the other priority, is they need to feel comfortable paying attention. But like I said, a good part of being a good mule leader and practicing good mulemanship is being able to identify the priority. Your mule will tell you if you'll listen. All you got to do is show up and listen. But what's the priority? Focus on the priority, check that priority off, and move on to the next priority. That's all you got to do. You guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode. I'd love to hear back from you. Like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, if you would be so kind as to leave us a review, leave some comments, let me know how you like the show. If you listen on a platform that doesn't let you leave a comment, then I would absolutely love it if you would send me an email, ty@tsmules.com. Tell me what you think of the show. You can always find all of our information about our clinics, our masterclass, our videos, our articles, all kinds of stuff on our website, tsmules.com. And anyways, you guys, thank you so much. God bless you. And we'll see you down the road.